What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm just having a wonderful time, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing okay, except I'm getting into a little bit of a pissing match with Keith Law on Twitter. I don't know if you know this gentleman, Keith Law.
I don't necessarily know Keith Law. I know of his work.
He's a baseball nerd, and he started chirping, and he got into a thing during the game I was watching, and it's just driving me nuts. And it was even less, first of all, what he was talking about I disagreed with, but it's also just his general way of interacting with people was really upsetting to me more than anything.
And you know, I did see that a little bit. I haven't been as active lately on the Twitter as I normally am, but I did see this exchange, and he is just a real smug prick, isn't he?
Yes, that's the really the best way of describing him. So I don't know if that is over with or not, but that's sort of been, you know, on top of mind over here. But we have other things, more important things, more exciting things to get to, Ryan. What do you say we do that?
Yeah, why not? Fuck that guy.
And how about this little bit of news? A lot of Star Wars TV news. We knew that Jon Favreau was going to be bringing Star Wars to the Disney streaming service, which is still not out yet, but that they're going to be doing. And so some of the news was coming out. And the name of the TV show is going to be The Mandalorian. I originally read it quickly on Twitter, and I thought it said The Metachlorian. And I was like... You can imagine my disgust.
A little bit of a difference there.
I was like, oh, no, he's not. And then I was like, I just read it wrong very quickly. But the Mandalorian, what do you think?
I like it. I mean, I like that it's not – it's kind of a tangential story. It's not following canon, as it were. And they might say it is canon. It might be in that whole thing. But it's a character we haven't seen before. Hopefully he runs into some other characters. But, you know, I'm excited for this thing, especially with Favreau at the helm. And kind of cool characters.
Yeah, cool characters. And so it's the general premise is it's a story of a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic. The gunslinger will wear Boba Fett's armor. And so the Mandalorian or the Mandalorian, it's going to be a real problem. It's too similar. But I guess this is, we have Star Wars people that know way more than we do about it, but so this dude that they're going to be following around is from the same home planet as Jango Fett.
Yes.
And of course, Boba Fett, we found out later, was a clone, but he's wearing Boba Fett's gear. So I think the timeline, this is going to take place in between episodes 6 and 7. As we know, there's like a lot of time in between there.
A lot of time in between, which is nice because there's a lot of upheaval there. A lot of going on.
Yeah. And so I think he's going to be a guy who, you know, they might overlap every once in a while. So say they do like a full season, there might be like one or two things that sort of tie into like the movies. But other than that, I bet it's going to be its own thing. But what's also kind of interesting is they announced a bunch of the different directors that are going to be a part of it. And Bryce Dallas Howard was one. Deborah Cho, who was a part of Jessica Jones and Mr. Robot. And then the most interesting one by far is Taika Waititi is going to be taking a stab.
And that's awesome because that guy does space adventure really well, as we've seen from Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
But yeah, you gotta think like you're going to cross paths with Jabba the Hutt and so forth. Or actually, no, Jabba's dead at that point.
Jabba is dead, but there'll be somebody from there. There'll be a guy that takes part. Like, you know, that big stupid guy in Force Awakens who is trying to buy the parts from Rey.
You
know, that guy, you'll probably see that son of a bitch at some point. Yeah.
That was him.
Oh, no shit.
Peg. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could see him. What if this, now this might blow your mind. I hope you're sitting down. What if in the Taika Waititi episode, Korg and Meek,
and they have a talk show, and they just kind of
they have a radio show and a podcast.
I love it. Bring any more Korg and Meek I can get. I'm in on that.
Now, I mean, that would obviously bring, that'd be like Patton Oswalt from Parks and Rec. That would bring the Star Wars universe and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It would bring them together in outer space.
It would just be a nerd's wet dream at that point, wouldn't it be?
That is exactly what I'm looking for. Ryan, this is a HBO show. The first thing I ever saw, I didn't even heard of it, but I saw a picture. It's called The Righteous Gemstones. It's a HBO comedy about televangelists, and it stars Danny McBride, John Goodman, and Adam Devine from Workaholics.
I think this has to be a McBride. Was it Jody Hill? Is it Jody Hill who does that stuff with? Are they doing the same guys who did Eastbound and Down and This Way? So, yeah. I'll watch it. You know, they did Vice Principals too. I thought Vice Principals was pretty good.
Vice Principals was good. And then I remember it got to a point in Vice Principals where I was like, this isn't great. And then it like ramped all the way back up, and that's worth watching. Both seasons are worth watching of that. So Righteous Gemstones looks good. I mean, Danny McBride is a televangelist in.
And John Goodman and Adam Devine, who I can take their leave.
I think he's pretty, he's more good than not.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Other TV news, there was a longer trailer for The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is going to be a Netflix show. It comes out October 26th. Makes sense. It should be out during hashtag Dorktober 3, Season of the Witch.
Sure.
And now, are you going to watch this? Because I definitely am.
I am not. I'm out on this.
Oh, you son of a
bastard. I'm out.
All right.
Okay. You know what? I'll tell you, I'll make you a deal, though. If you watch 3 episodes and tell me it's good, I'll watch it. How about that?
That sounds good. Speaking of what's good, but you won't watch, Riverdale. Riverdale, Ryan, is back this week. Another season of Riverdale. It's pretty good. People like, well, just me and Goo like Riverdale. Like,
people we know like it.
Taking it back? It back? I know one guy who likes it. I don't know about this one. For some reason, I'd love to know the backstory behind this. When the people at DC were like, you know what we need? Is a 5-minute and 17-second trailer of Aquaman, and we need to release that.
And you know they have this huge bombastic action sequence, and you know that's the best one in the movie.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that's the best one, where they're running across the rooftops. It looks like it's in Greece.
Yeah.
You know, and you look and you're like, you know what, this is probably as good as this movie's gonna get. And 80% of me was like, you know what, I get it. I don't need to watch any more of this.
I know. But we're going to watch it.
We're going to have to. You know, it's part of the job. You know,
the DC universe is crumbling down upon us, but I will watch Aquaman. I will watch. Actually, I'm looking forward to Shazam. Looking forward, maybe a little strong.
I'm not looking forward to that at all. I bet that sucks.
All right, sir. Okay, sir.
All right.
The Hellboy, we talked last week, Hellboy had a sweet poster. They released another poster where it has more of the cast in it. And I didn't think I wanted a Hellboy movie, but I guess I'm going to watch this Hellboy movie.
I am all in on this Hellboy movie. Yeah. All in. Okay. Even without Del Toro, I'm in.
No, yeah, I think David Harbour's awesome. So I think this comes out in April, so we got a ways away. But
that's going to be a standalone.
That'll be a standalone, and that'll also be that's one where I am looking forward to a trailer for that. I want to see him talking, moving around.
At the most recent con in New York, they showed a little bit of it, right? And people were like, it was awesome. I heard nothing but positive reviews from that. So,
well, speaking of cons, Ryan, I guess we're sort of like the angel of death.
We are. We've said that before. It's happened. This is the third or fourth time this has happened.
Of course, the late great Adam West was at the very first Comic-Con that Davey and I attended, and he passed away not too long after that.
Yes.
Who was the other person? There was another person.
It was Ditko, wasn't it? Steve Ditko?
Oh, yep. He was at a con.
Yep.
He's no longer with us.
The creator of Spider-Man. So it was him, and then you go ahead.
The gentleman who played Herschel in The Walking Dead, Maggie's father, Herschel, he just recently died, and he was at Comic-Con in Connecticut.
Each of these people, we looked at each other and said, we should probably talk to them, and then didn't.
Mm. Oh, boy. So I don't want to put the jinx on anybody. I think I'm going to attend. I know you can't that weekend, but I'm going to try.
Weekend, yeah.
I'm going to try Rhode Island Comic Con is in November. So we've had a couple people asking us if we're going to go. I'm definitely going to try to get down there, at least for one of the days. But man, probably shouldn't look at the guest list because somebody could drop at any point after that.
So you were telling me that of all the cons we go to, Rhode Island is like 2B. Like you have Boston, which is like the best one. Then Comic Con would be 2A, and then Rhode Island is 2B. And then
Rhode Island is I bet it's bigger than Connecticut.
Is it really?
They bang it out. Like they have like the Dunkin' Donuts Center is completely full. And then they have like the convention center next to it. And it's enormous. Like there's a ton of people. I don't know if the space is a little bit smaller, so it feels like more people right. or what, but I think it's the biggest one outside of Boston.
And let us not forget our friends at Northeast Comic Con who have been very good to us. God bless them. They're God trying. Bless them.
They put on a show. You don't have to drive as far, which I like.
True.
Typically, it's in a place that's more convenient.
A little out of the way.
Maybe it's at a Days Inn. Who's to say? It can be wherever they want it to take it. That's fine.
A Days Inn that has an empty pool.
Yeah. Well, don't use the pool. The pool's closed. Please don't use the pool. All right, that's all the news I have, Ryan. Oh, actually, the other thing, Ruby Rose, the first image of Ruby Rose as Batwoman in the Arrowverse appeared. Looked pretty good. Yeah, she does, right?
Yeah. I hope they don't make her lose her accent, though, because I don't think she can do an American accent.
I feel like with Batwoman, just do whatever you want.
Doesn't matter.
Nobody really knows enough about her. Just say whatever you want, however you want. You're going to be fine. You do you.
You do you.
All right, Ryan, that's my news. Let's get to your news.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
This one, we're going to make this quick because we get a lot to talk about today, Richard, don't we?
Yes, we do. We sure do. You're right about that.
So today, the new, not to timestamp this, but today, the new Halloween Overwatch game and skins is out. I believe today is the 9th, correct? So yeah, so it's out today.
I'm looking forward to this.
The skins look really cool. There are some really cool looking skins. I'm interested to see what the new game mode is. Junkenstein himself is back. So
love that. Nice.
And then you have the Bride of Junkenstein, which is a somber skin, which looks kind of cool.
Okay.
So to that end, console news, Sony announced last night that their new console is coming, and get this, Richard, it might come with a handheld device.
Wait a minute.
So it might come a little bit of the Nintendo Switch action. It might actually come with a handheld so you could take it on the road with you, which is nice.
I do like that.
You like Borderlands 2?
No.
You didn't like Borderlands 2.
I wasn't wild about Borderlands. I didn't hate it, but I wasn't wild about it. But go ahead.
Instead of releasing Borderlands 3, which we have all been waiting for with bated breath, they are doing Borderlands VR. So it's Borderlands 2, but it's VR. So, if you're into that, that's cool.
Sure you are.
My obligatory Fortnite news, they are coming out with something called the Quad Launcher, which is a quadruple rocket launcher. I'm guessing it's going to look like the one in the movie... Commando.
Okay.
Remember that with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
How could I forget?
How can you forget? This week, the new Mario Party launched. Yay.
Hey, right? Now.
Yay, sure. Question mark?
Yeah. People are in on that, I'm sure.
Something that people are talking about in the new Assassin's Creed Odyssey is there's no fall damage now. You don't have to, jump in the bales of hay anymore. You can just, jump from ridiculous heights and just not die.
I don't know if I like that, to be honest. There's enough bales of hay. There's enough bales of hay. Find a haystack. Get in there.
Seriously. Get this. Shadow of the Tomb Raider has been out for like a month, and it's already on sale. How do you feel about that?
That's like when a jersey, like a football player, like everyone's excited about, and he sucks. And they're like, okay,
he gets traded.
He gets traded away. Yeah. You're like, okay, it's on sale now.
So it's been out for like a little over a month, and you can only already get it for like $42. Which is not great. Jeez. for a Tomb Raider. People were lukewarm on that at best. It got decent reviews, but I don't think anybody's playing it. And get this, Richard. Today, this week, Spider-Man has been out for a month.
1 month.
How do you feel about it now? Month in.
I feel great. I 100%ed that bad boy. I know you did as well.
I did. Yeah. Do you want more?
Yeah, I do. I also feel like I could have spaced it out. Like, if I wasn't like a psychopath about it, I could probably still be playing it. But like when I would sit down, I would just get stuff done. So
yeah, the only thing I have to do is like the like the agility, you know, like the skipping across and doing like the web launches and running across buildings and all that's like swinging at top speed.
Like you have a few things to do. Yeah.
And that's all I have left to do. And that's just busy work. So I'll get to that eventually, just on a day where I just swinging around.
I did it all. So now I was looking at my PlayStation library. So I've only 100%ed like a handful of games. So it was like Batman, the Telltale series. I 100%ed that. Tekken 7. I 100%ed that. And Spider-Man, that might be it. Cause even Arkham Knight, like I didn't 100% because I'm like the goddamn Riddler trophies and a couple of other stuff. I'm like, I'm not going to do it.
How you doing with Tekken 7? How's your lay coming along?
I've not used lay. I don't have him in the game.
Oh, you're gonna get lay.
I didn't buy him. We got to schedule that. Then it gives me something to do. Maybe after Dorktober. Cause I've been trying to shotgun all these Red Dead's
coming out. And so we'll figure out when it's going to happen.
We'll get in there.
So talking about Spider-Man DLCs, like the first one's going to come out at the end of the month and we already know it's a Black Cat episode. So that's pretty fun.
Yeah. Not bad.
Any other Spider-Man characters that you would like to see in this game, Richard?
Are they, like ones that were in the game or ones that weren't?
Ones that were not.
Oh, obviously the guy we're talking about today, Venom. Give me some
there
Venom.
You go. I just teed you up for a segue.
Look at that. Well, Ryan, then I guess I don't even need to tell you about the topic du jour because you're very much aware of the topic of the day. And that is the film Venom, Tom Hardy's Venom, which sadly was PG-13, but we knew that going in. It was 1 hour and 52 minutes. Rotten Tomatoes at last check, staggering the difference. The critics are giving it 30%. The audience, however, 89%.
Sure.
One thing you can't argue with, though, Ryan, number one at the box office, it made over $80 million opening weekend.
And you know this is getting a sequel just because of that.
And you know because of the money, it's going to get a sequel. So we will do as we always do, Ryan. We begin talking about Venom. Non-spoilers for those who did not see the film. I ask you first, did you like it?
Not really.
Yeah, I had a feeling maybe you'd say that.
But I'm going to get to it in a little bit. So when I say that, I didn't hate it as much as I thought I was going to. Looking at the Rotten Tomatoes score, looking what people had to say about it, I try to stay away from it as much as I can. But, you know, it's unavoidable. You can't.
Some of it is just impossible.
You can't stay away from it. So I was reading on some things. I'm like, well, that sucks. But then I didn't hate it as much as I thought I was going to. There was some good in this.
Yeah, I thought so too. That's why I guess I would probably say like the softest yes. I did like it, but
it was like yes.
Yes. Yeah, like it's not I'm definitely, and if somebody was like, I hated it, I'd be like, yeah, he probably did. Or like, you know, like I'm trying to think, and we'll get into comparisons of other movies and things like that, but it definitely wasn't terrible, but by no means was it great. No means was it, you got to run out and see it.
Yep.
Quick hitters on the story, action/fights, and the comedy. First, the story. It is an origin story, so you know going in, it's a full-on origin. At this point, as comic book movie fans, we have probably seen 20, 30 origin stories, I would
say. Too many.
And so that's not this movie's fault, but the problem is, like, we've kind of seen stuff like this before.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, like, the story, and as somebody who's read, you know, some Spider-Man and some Venom comics and sort of knowing what the backstories are, and also, this isn't a spoiler at all, but there are a lot of different Venoms or a lot of different hosts of Venom.
Yes.
Eddie Brock is probably the most famous, hence that's what Tom Hardy is. They're doing the Eddie Brock story. But they do a pretty good job of like introducing some other things. And let's be honest, Venom is a crackers character.
And that's just it. Like, it is a completely bonkers, off the wall storyline that was actually created by a fan. Like, a fan wrote in to Marvel, and they gave him $220 for the rights to this character, and they just like said screw it, and McFarlane and somebody else made it. You know what I mean? And it's a completely ridiculous character.
Well, it was supposed to be, now I might be getting some of the details wrong, but I think it was supposed to be kind of the idea of like the Spider-Man in the black suit, and it was like sort of like a different type of thing, and it wasn't really meant to last so long, but people really got infatuated with it. But the real origin of it, like, as I was watching the movie, I'm like, this is actually a really difficult one to make, because you're talking about symbiotes and like another, like, it's not even like aliens. It's like this bullshit stuff that like gets into you, and you're like, this isn't Iron Man, or like this isn't even the Hulk is like a much simpler explanation for like, all right, this happened, gamma rays, boom, he's the Hulk. Like right. Venom is out there. And so to try to make sense of it for a mainstream audience that's never even picked up a comic, like it's probably as tricky of a popular character. I mean, there's plenty of obscure ones that are nuts, but for a popular character, it's got to be as out there as he gets.
So it was always that thing where people ask me about, like, even then when I'm like talking to my wife, or like she had some friends over. So I was, they're like, oh, what movie are you going to go see? And I was explaining like what Venom was. And they're like, well, he kind of looks like Spider-Man. I'm like, well, it kind of is Spider-Man, but not really. And I'm like trying to explain it to them, and they're just looking at me with like these blank faces.
It's a great call. Like, that's the one out of all the guys. Like, think about every character that was in Avengers Infinity War. And if somebody was like, hey, can you explain X? You could. Sure. You probably could. Yeah. So what's the deal with Venom? Like, oh boy. Like,
here we go.
I don't know, man. Sit down. Like,
and as soon as I started talking, you could tell that everyone in the room just tuned me out.
They're like, we're done here. I thought it was going to be a short answer.
Forget it. Yeah.
Like, fine. He got bit by a radioactive spider.
Like no.
Well, no, not quite.
But Peter Parker did, and it was attached to him, and then it changed, and then and I'm just like, ugh, god damn it.
Well, Peter Parker, the original, the first guy ever attacked, so they obviously can't go with that here.
Right.
Or they don't go with that here. I thought the comedy was never, ever laugh-out-loud funny, but there were definitely a few moments of, like, the...
Yeah, I gave it, like, a ha, like, at one point.
Like a handful of hiss.
Yeah.
That's probably true. What did you think about the action and the fight scenes? I thought there was actually a couple that were pretty good.
There were a couple that were pretty good, and there were a couple that were not good. Actually, one in particular was not good.
Nope.
And we'll get to that in spoilers, obviously.
That's true. Yeah, we got plenty to get to in there. Overall, how do you think it looks? Because we have seen Venom, like real Venom, once, going back to Spider-Man 3. They sort of teased Venom in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. But as far as actually seeing him, I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, I know, and we saw some of him in the trailer, so we're not really giving away anything here, but I thought he actually looked pretty good.
And that's as good as the character's going to look on screen. Like, that's it.
I think
that's
you're right.
He's going to look.
I think you're right.
So I was very actually impressed with that. Once we saw proper Venom, I was very impressed.
Yeah, that was cool. Now, here's the ultimate question, Ryan. Should people see this movie in the theater?
No.
Yep. I'm pretty strong in a no there, because it's also one of those ones where it's not in the MCU, so you don't need to. Although, we can get into that.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
We'll get into that. But you can figure out whether, like, it's not like you need to watch this to watch the next one. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it just, you could, it's its own thing. So don't worry about it. How do you think it compares to other comic book movies? First off, let's look at Spider-Man.
Yes.
You had Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. You had The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. And you had Spider-Man Homecoming. So if you want to include that in this, I know they're all different movie companies and whatever, but there would be 7 sort of under the umbrella of Spider-Man movies.
Yes.
And to me, Homecoming and Spider-Man 2 are without question better.
Yes.
And probably number one of both are better, right? Like, this is probably only better than The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3.
That's exactly where I would put it. It's better than Spider-Man 3. It's better than The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And then not, but like those three are so far down. They're in like a tier of their own.
Yeah.
Like those other ones, they're the family we don't talk about. Like, we're related, but we don't talk to them.
Right.
You know, so like you said, Homecoming to me is the best Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. I think it became it. Yeah.
Then Spider-Man 2. Then Spider-Man 1. The original Raimi Spider-Man, then The Amazing Spider-Man 1, and then everything else.
Right. With this on top of those two.
Yes.
Yeah. And then as far as like other comic book movies, like I was trying to think afterwards, like this reminded me of... Now this is going to sound, and I'll get into more of it in spoilers, like this is going to sound like really high praise. It's not as good as the first Ant-Man, but it reminded me of sort of like if the first Ant-Man and the Incredible Hulk were somewhat combined.
Yep.
So like you'd get this.
We did not talk about this beforehand, but if you said compare it to a movie in the MCU, I would say The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's passable. It's a movie that it's watchable. It's not so bad that it's not so bad that it's good. And it's not so bad that you can't watch it, but it's just good enough to watch.
Yeah. Like there are MCU movies worse than this in my mind.
Yes.
In my opinion. Like it
It is relevant. Like it's not irrelevant. You don't have to, you can't like just flat out ignore it.
Yeah.
Like you should see it. If you're listening to this podcast, you're going to see it. So just see it.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you should see it. But honestly, if you don't want to spend the $15 on it, don't
wait
for it to come out. There is a mid-credits scene, so sort of MCU-esque. There's a mid-credits scene, not post-credits, and it is worth sticking around. You don't have to wait that long either, so stick around for that. Ryan, the dork score.
Yep.
The dork score, what would you slap on it?
2.5.
Holy mackerel.
2.5, soft 3.
Wow. Oh, man.
Now,
2.5. That's as bad as a score, I think, as you've given.
I think so. No, I think I gave Fallen Kingdom a 2, a hard 2.
That's true. What did I do? What did I give
Fallen Kingdom a 4? If you were going to ask me that. So
I gave Fallen Kingdom a 4? Yeah, maybe I did. What did I give Ready Player One? Because I enjoyed this more than that.
I think you gave it like a 3.
Yeah, so this is probably I give everything a 4, I guess, but I would probably give this a 3.5 or a 4.
But I think of the other movies we've given 4s to, and it's not as good as those.
But I've also, you know what? We probably need an episode where we just reset some of these scores, because I think I gave Suicide Squad a 4, and then I lost all credibility.
You did. That was one of your that was a real boner on your part.
I'll take that one back. I'll probably knock that down.
I want back. I think I was having a bad day when I did Fallen Kingdom.
I think you had a bad day during Happy Time Murders. You didn't give that one the just due.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that movie stunk.
All right. Well, Venom. So, like, of our standalone episodes that we've done for movies this year,
yep.
Like, Venom is probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. But if you got a streaming service or you get a Saturday night free, watch it. It's entertaining.
So when we first talked about this movie like forever ago, and we were both really anticipating it, and we'd said Tom Hardy and Michelle Williams wouldn't be in a movie that wasn't great.
Yep.
Well, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
But are we into spoilers yet? We haven't done
that. Anything else non-spoiler?
No,
probably not.
No.
All right. Okay. Let's. And I've already sort of tipped my hand a little bit there. So let's go spoilers.
Spoilers. Spoilers! Spoilers! Here come the spoilers!
All right, what do you got?
So, like you said, we said, why would Tom Hardy and Michelle Williams sign on for a movie if it wasn't any good? Here's what I believe. We talk about, like, best parts, worst parts, right? So,
yep.
When the best part for me was actually Tom Hardy, which I know it sounds weird because he was so off the wall. Like, you said, crackers. I would say bonkers.
Well, you're a huge Tom Hardy fan.
I am. But like the way he played Eddie Brock was kind of the way he is in the comic books, where he's kind of a loser.
Right.
He had a little taste of success. He started drinking a little bit, started becoming chemically dependent.
Yes.
And then this parasite latches onto him and it like speaks to him. So he goes a little bit crazy. So
I thought that was the best stuff. Honestly,
he plays crazy really well.
Was him and Venom, which I think he voiced too, was those two talking to each other. That was the best stuff. Like
that was the best part of the movie.
Those were some of the funny things, or just like Tom Hardy or Eddie Brock trying to keep it together, and then all of a sudden having, you know, Venom say something like the exact opposite. Like that was the best stuff.
And we talked a little bit about the action scenes. I think for me, one of the best parts of this movie was the action scenes with the actual Venom were awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, Venom was good, I thought. But so the reason why I say, and we both said the Incredible Hulk, and I even sprinkled in some Ant-Man. Ant-Man only because the villain, like just the scientific nature of it, and like I thought the Riz Ahmed's Carlton Drake character had some overlap to the Yellow Jacket, you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
And then the fact that, what would you say, 95% of these origin movies, one of the fight scenes, one of the battles is basically a mirror match.
Right. And so that one wasn't good. The other one that I think, and we're getting a little bit into worse parts now.
That's so fine.
I thought Tom Hardy as Venom and those two interacting with each other was the best part of the movie. The worst part of the movie was, it seemed as though to me, Tom Hardy was in a completely different movie than everybody else. Like he was going all in and everybody else just mailed it in. Like Michelle Williams.
Oh God. What was
she? Was awful in this movie.
Like, the thing is, she's one of the best actresses going.
But I don't think she changed her facial expression the entire movie.
Well, so I have a question here, Ryan, and you know more about Spider-Man lore than I do.
Sure.
I know that Anne Wang, who it was his fiance, I have a few thoughts here. So I know that she turns into like Lady Venom, and she looked really good as the Lady Venom when she went to save Eddie. But one of the big early themes of the movie was that the symbiote, it cannot go into any host. Like, the hosts get rejected, the host dies and things like that. Like, a lot of people died testing the symbiote.
Yes.
So her plan was like, I gotta be a good donor here. Like, I must be a match. Let's give it a go. Like, she easily could have died, right?
She easily could have died. Not only that, but when the symbiote attaches itself to Eddie Brock, it takes a while for it to like kind of come out.
Right.
And anybody else, like, you had people in the trials who were like, it either killed them instantly or killed them like kind of over time, but never like manifested.
Yeah. Basically, and, like ate their liver or some shit.
Yeah.
Right.
And then like it, Venom, the Venom symbiote goes on like two different people and they're like, oh yeah, we're fine.
That was one of my biggest problems with it, with the whole movie, was because they set it up to the degree that, and they even made the comparison about like donors and things like that. So you get it. You're like, all right, the symbiote can't be hosted by just anybody. Makes sense. That is very clear.
Yeah.
But then for her plan to be like, oh, we got to save Eddie, jump in here. You're like, wait a minute, what? So you could have just died. And then the other problem I had is, now, Eddie Brock, I would say, definitely crossed a line with what he did originally to get the information on Carlton Drake by getting Anne's information. But she just, like, immediately ends their engagement. I'm like, how strong was your fucking relationship if you do something like that? And she had to know that's the kind of guy you are anyway. And then you're just immediately done. You don't have a conversation about it. And then you get a boyfriend, like, 6 months later or even less than that. 6 months later
who's living with you? Like, that couldn't have... You were engaged.
What? You were engaged.
And the other thing, too, is that guy was such a doofus. He was such a moron.
He was a Milhouse, yeah.
Absolute Milhouse. And he was... he was just, like, just a cuck the whole movie. Like, if Eddie Brock was, hey, I'm going to bang your girlfriend, he's like, oh, that's cool, bro.
That's whatever. Awesome, man. Yeah, he's like the boyfriend in Semi-Pro. He's like, oh, man, I know you. Hey, you're great.
Yeah.
Dr. Dan Lewis can piss right off.
Yeah, and she says to him one point, like, oh, yeah, you know, I know you've kind of, like, ruffled some feathers and kind of, like, left some peace. She's like, yeah, I was one of those people. Like, she actually says it to him. He's like, oh, yeah, ha-ha. And we should get you in the hospital, man. Like, he's in there, like, eating live lobsters and jumping into fish tanks. And he's like, no, no, he's my patient. He's cool.
Yeah. Oh,
like, if one of your wife's ex-boyfriends showed up at a restaurant and started, like, eating live lobster, like, jumping in the tank, I'd be like, we're out of here.
Right, I'm fucking not good with it. I'm not good with that at all. Yeah, that was so absurd. Like, nobody could be like, oh, like, he's not feeling well. Like, that's not what people do when they're not feeling well.
Yeah, and just, like, why? Like,
he just wanted to eat off of everybody's plate.
Yeah,
and then he jumped in the tank.
And he's like, no, don't call the cops. Like, no, absolutely call the police. No,
yeah, you should probably call somebody. Like, good Lord.
And what was the other thing? There was one that was, like, so when they're doing the thing at the end with the rocket, and, you know, Venom and Riot are, like, fighting on the rocket, and Riot takes out, like, all these people in the control room. How the hell does Michelle Williams get in there? You just see her just, like, waltzing right in. Like, how did you get in there?
Oh, it's a good question. Yeah.
The whole place was on lockdown.
I'm really like, as the movie was going on, I'm like, this is so much better than people thought it was. Or like, I'm kind of enjoying the ride. And then the two things that really kind of sabotaged it was the Michelle Williams stuff at the end, where she's like, they really shoehorned in Lady Venom. Cause I think they're trying to distract people from being like, oh, cool, Lady Venom.
Yeah.
No, hold on a second. Like, this goes against everything that you set up. And then just another mirror match. You're like, come on, guys. Like, it needs to be different. Like, it needs to be a different type of, and then this is where I guess they're a little bit limited. And let's go back to all the stuff we got leading up to the movie with like the producers and the director and all the different conversations, Tom Hardy, Sony. Is it in the MCU or is it not in the MCU? And it's clearly not in the MCU.
It's clearly not. I would like to see it be in the MCU though.
How do you make it in there though? Because
how I would write it.
Because San Francisco, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Ant-Man San Francisco?
Ant-Man was San Francisco. But I think at this point, what I would do is have Eddie go back to New York. I would do Maximum Carnage, where most of the beginning of that is Venom versus Carnage.
Yes. And they do reference Eddie coming from New York, which was at least good.
Yes, and they mention John Jameson.
Yeah, so good. I'm glad you mentioned that. So John Jameson was one of the astronauts at the beginning with like the symbiote and everything. And so John Jameson, of course, is the son of J. Jonah Jameson. And he has a few different kind of characters throughout the comics. I would say the main one is Man-Wolf, yes. Right?
Yeah.
And so he also was the guy, if you remember, in Spider-Man 2, that Mary Jane Watson, after she broke up with Peter, was like, oh, now I'm with this guy. And then they were engaged. And then she's like, nope, I'm back with Peter again.
Right.
But so that's John Jameson. But in this movie, it seems like he's dead. Right. But last time we saw him, I think he's dead.
Yeah. Well, you don't see him. You don't see him actually die.
Yeah,
you see Riot move to a different person, which is fine. The way I would have this go is have Eddie go back to New York. And then I remember in Maximum Carnage, there's a panel where like Spider-Man's not really involved, but there's a scene where Eddie is like dying. And so the last scene of Venom 2 should be like him crashing through the window in Peter Parker's apartment, like trying to get help. Like that should be like the last scene. You know,
it definitely should be. And so they sort of set up Carnage, obviously, if you get to the jump out of the mid credit scene. And you know what's really funny about that? I mean, for me personally, like we do all this stuff and we keep track of everything that's going on. And I remember even like tweeting out like, hey, Woody Harrelson is going to be in Venom.
Yeah,
I completely forgot all about it. Like as I was watching the movie, I was never once thinking like, where's Woody Harrelson? And then I'm so dumb that I get to the end. I'm not even thinking Woody Harrelson. They get to the mid credits. They set up the whole thing. Tom Hardy is in jail. He's going to interview like Hannibal Lecter, like essentially is what they're doing. And I'm like, ooh, is it going to be like the Vulture? Or is like, I'm thinking MCU. I'm like, this must be where they tie into the MCU. And you're like, nope, they're doing their own thing. However, if they were going to do their own thing, this is the character to introduce by far. Makes the most sense with Carnage.
And I don't know how you do that story without Spider-Man.
Good, great call. Yeah. What do they do? And if they're calling this the Sony verse or whatever, like Spider-Man Homecoming at the very least was in part with Sony. So, maybe you don't bring in all the Avengers, but you got to bring in Spider-Man.
You have to.
I don't know what else they do. Carnage is sweet though. Carnage is a good character. Sweet. Yeah.
One of the best Spider-Man bad guys in my opinion.
Yeah, these two guys, they're both great. And so Venom ends up sort of toeing the line. You can sort of see that. Like, he's definitely not a bad guy, but he's not necessarily a good guy because he literally eats people.
Yeah, sure.
You know? All right. What do you think of Jenny Slate's character, Doris Skirth?
Useless. Absolutely useless.
Do you know that she went to Milton?
I did know that, actually.
Yeah, she went to Milton Academy, and she was dating Chris Evans for a while, but I don't think they're together anymore.
I don't think they are either, but again, useless.
Yeah, not great. I mean, those were really the main characters. It was Eddie Brock Venom was on screen almost the entire movie. It was Michelle Williams and Wang, who was brutal. No good. No thanks.
Nope.
Riz Ahmed as Carlton Drake in Riot. Oh, that's the other thing. Awfully convenient where, again, maybe I'm hung up on it more than I should be. But the symbiote doesn't work on so many people.
Yeah.
And yet Carlton Drake works.
And not only that, but like, what's your rush? Like, he had to get that rocket off like in the next 2 days after one crashed. Like, what was the big rush?
I don't know. Well, no, because didn't Riot want to go get all the other symbiotes and bring them to Earth?
He did. But like before that, he was even planning to like, you know, we need to speed up trials. It's like, why? Like, what do you... And you know what else I hated too? His like blazer with the like the zip up turtleneck thing. Like that really pissed me off. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Didn't love it. Like a very forgettable villain.
Instantly forgettable villain.
Instantly.
And it's just like,
that's why don't you think he and Yellow Jacket from Ant-Man 1 are like
completely useless. And I love how like Venom's like, well, I don't know, we can't beat this guy. And then they do pretty easily.
Yeah, it really wasn't all that hard.
But like the other thing too, so I want to get a little bit to the worst parts. One of the worst action scenes for me was the one with the motorcycle, because I can't remember the last time I saw.
You didn't like that chase scene? You didn't like?
I'll tell you why. You didn't think it was like Ronin? I'll tell you why.
Okay.
First of all, this movie was shot in like five different ways. It looks completely uneven. Like when he's in the woods and like the random head of security guy is going to shoot him. It's like shot like almost black and white. and then some are like super colorful. Mm-hmm. And then, so we're watching this like slow-mo chase scene, like in, like you said, like if they're trying to be like Ronin. I can't remember the last time in 20 years where I saw a slow motion shot straight on to the stunt double. Like the stunt double's like, face, ooh. The stunt double's face was on camera for like 5 seconds.
You're like, that's not, oh like boy.
That's, and that's clearly not him.
No,
that's clearly not Tom Hardy. So like, I don't, it, to me, the shooting of this movie, the way it was shot, the way it looked was completely lazy. The editing was terrible.
You know what the movie, like if that, if this exact movie came out in 2004, what do you think we would think about it?
Oh, you'd be like, oh, cool. Like if it's yeah. with the other Spider-Man movies, you'd be like, oh, cool. But like I, and that might be it too. I think I'm just a little superhero movie fatigued. I think I'm expecting too much of these movies. And remember people were like, well, this is, how the hell does Venom open his mouth that big and you can't see Eddie Brock's face? I'm like, you're talking about an alien parasite latching onto a person and giving him superhero strength. And he looks like Spider-Man, but he's not. And you're worried about whether or not it's believable. Like, give me a fucking break.
Well, that's why, like, once you set it up, like with all these movies, like once you set it up, I'm in. Like that, like whatever you want to do. Like, all right, so the host, once he gets in there, like he slowly makes him stronger and he can do all these things. He can shoot spikes out of him. He can do this stuff. He can talk to him. I love it. And what I also like too is, like they're both in there. Like they're like working together. It's sort of like Firestorm, like in DC, like they kind of do the same idea where like the two guys sort of meld together.
Yeah.
And so, because I heard the director was talking about it. He's like, you know, it's not Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's not like one does something, or even like Hulk and Bruce Banner. It's not that, you know, it's, they're in there together. And so they can relate. And even like the very end scene of the actual movie was, I thought was pretty good, where Michelle Williams assumes that Eddie Brock is just Eddie Brock now.
He's fine. Yeah.
And he's like playing it up that he is. And then Venom's like talking to him. He's like, we're going to get you back. Tell her we're going to get her back.
Well, I like the scene. And it was more shock value than anything else when he was like, jump out the window. And he hits the button. And he's like, pussy.
Yeah. That
like,
was hilarious.
Like to me, that was a callback to, have you ever seen the movie Ski Patrol?
You
ever seen that movie?
No, but I saw when, wasn't it Always Sunny did like the knockoff of it?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did. But there was a guy like Suicide who had like two like masks that he would like talk to, like two like alter egos.
Oh, okay.
And it was great. It reminded me of that, which made me giggle a little bit, but
that was again, really funny weird. Though. Like, I admit that I'm a simpleton, but like when Tom Hardy, even something as simple, like when he says no, and then Venom says yes, like to people, like I like it. Like that was definitely entertaining. And then Venom like calling Eddie a loser, but then he's like, well, I can relate to you because like on my planet, I was a loser.
I'm kind of a loser. Yeah.
I'm kind of a loser. He's like, I like you, Eddie. I like
one,
you.
And one thing I did like too is when, and I thought this was strange. Like when he was beating Riot and then Riot actually says like, you actually have you have a strong host because he clearly didn't.
Yeah. Right. Oh, good. So
that was a nice one line of dialogue that I'm like, okay, I'm glad they said that.
Yeah.
Because it's not the symbiote; it has to do with the host too. And that he was a fucking weenie.
He was such a weenie. And how about they also make very clear what their biggest weaknesses are? And it's like a certain type of sound and fire.
And that's when Venom goes and fire.
like classic like Frankenstein, like and fire. Yeah. Wait, it was Frankenstein was fire, right? Or is he water?
Yeah, that was
fire.
Frankenstein. Yeah.
So, because that's the other thing is like some of the rules of it, and like, so these symbiotes come from these other planets, but then they pretty early on know, like they could speak English. Like Venom knew that he wanted to eat tater tots, like all that stuff, you know.
Well, I think it had to do with too that he was in his brain, so he knew. Like maybe there was a whole line of dialogue. Right, he's like, right. I know what you think. I know because I'm like they're bonded that way too,
right.
So, you know, find out language.
No, you're right. They definitely did that. But then there was a time that like he didn't know something about him. And you're like, well, I thought you did. But anyway, like that anyway. I'm not getting.
Well, and the biggest problem I had with this whole thing, too, and that nails it. Like, it's very uneven.
Yeah.
Like it. And again, I felt like Tom Hardy was in one movie and the rest of the cast was in a completely different movie. And they tried to shove them together and it didn't work. Yeah. It's almost like, and like Michelle Williams is like, she didn't get it. Like, she didn't really get what she was doing. Or didn't care.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe she wasn't really sure. Like, she's never been in a comic book movie, has she?
Right. No.
No? Right.
She was just, like, flat. Like, she didn't change her facial expression the entire time. I know I said that before, but it's just, I can't get over it.
All right, so these were some of the other movies that we did. So Infinity War, obviously, Black Panther, Deadpool 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Those were all better movies.
Yes.
What about Solo, A Star Wars Story?
Push.
Kind of in that ball. Yeah, so like Jurassic World. I mean, you think it's better than Jurassic World. I probably think it's about the same. I thought
only because it's in the Spider-Man universe. So yeah, I think that's fair. For me, it's that gives it the edge.
But, like, it was definitely better than Ready Player One. It was definitely better. I don't know if you watched Cloverfield Paradox. I'm thinking of some of the other movies I saw. Oh, it sucked. So, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it's like you can't really recommend it. I think the problem is, so you said you're sort of fatigued from comic book movies. I think the bigger problem is we are now expecting so much out of them because every once in a while they are that good. Like Logan last year was that good. And correct. Avengers was that good. There have been other ones that, like, it's such a high bar, but some of them meet that. And that's why when you get one like this that fits in with, like, it was better than Ben Affleck's Daredevil, but, like, that's what we're talking about. It's like movies like that that we've already seen before, and you're like, okay, I thought we moved past this.
Right.
Now, I guess the question we always ask with these ones is, do you want to see a Venom 2?
I do. I do want to see Venom 2. And I want it. If you make a movie with Carnage that's PG-13, I swear to God, I will quit this podcast.
Hold on, don't, because they probably will.
That's to me, if Sony does that, that's unforgivable. Unforgivable. Because not only that, not only can you not do that character in a PG-13 movie, you have seen that R-rated comic book movies work. Oh, there is a track record for I think every R-rated comic book movie has been successful.
Probably. Yeah, probably pretty close anyway. I mean,
you get the two Deadpools, Logan, and I can't think of another one. Watchmen. Like, there is success for these things. There is an audience for this. Just please do it. Like, stop with the PG-13 nonsense.
What if I told you, though, there was going to be no Spider-Man in it? Then, I mean, how good can it really be?
If it's R-rated, you can't put Spider-Man in it, I don't think.
Oh, that's... All right, yeah, so it's got to be one or the other, then, I guess.
Yeah, so either one. And I would rather take the R, the hard R, with these two, than have it with Spider-Man in it.
And I'd like them to open it up a little bit more, too. I mean, Venom and Carnage probably should be enough, but give me somebody else. Give me a little taste of somebody else in there.
Throw some D'Onofrio Kingpin in there for good measure.
What if... Who owns Fantastic Four? Is it Sony right now? Oh, Fox does. That's right. So that's got to be Disney. So never mind.
That's going to get rebooted.
I mean, I'll see a Venom 2, but like you really can't get all that jazzed up about it.
Nope.
All right. Well, anything else on Venom? I feel like we're missing stuff, but that was probably the movie.
It's
cookie cutter is what it is.
It's totally cookie cutter. But again, it was just so uneven for me. Like just from the way it was shot to the characters, like, again, I can't stress it enough. I love Tom Hardy and he can do no wrong. And maybe that's me, but I felt like he did as good of a job as anyone's going to do with this character and kind of a perfect cast for it too. Cause he's kind of like, you know, more muscular guy.
Yeah. No, I liked him. I thought he was pretty good, but some of the things they did were kind of like, okay.
And I think the Venom character, like I said, that's as good as it's going to look on camera.
He did. He looked sweet. Like that's the one thing you could take from it. But then again, some of the fight sequences, they kind of lose you a little bit. And also with, you know, so much at stake in the other movies and like the movies that we watch specifically, it feels like it's MCU or it's like Star Wars. And so there's like a reason to watch things. There's like, how does it connect to this? How does it do that? So you got to almost like reset your mind to be like, this is probably its own thing. Like this is probably just close to 2 hours of its own movie. Maybe there'll be a sequel. There probably will be a sequel, but then that might also be it. Like that, it could be like back in the day when there'd be trilogies and then that they were contained. Like that might be just what it is.
Yep. Like that. Not to be crass. I know we don't like to work blue on this podcast, but it was like someone went just the tip on us with this movie. You know, it felt good for a second and then they bailed on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Sure. They promised you a good time and they almost delivered.
Didn't deliver.
No. All right. That'll do it for Venom. Let's get to the pick of the pod.
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 All right, Ryan, kick, receive, defer, or defend the goal.
I will kick this time.
All right. So I am, I still have one episode left, but I've almost finished the Jessica Biel TV show, The Sinner.
Oh,
have you seen what this bad boy is about?
Yes, I have.
All right. So, I mean, I guess this is sort of the plot. So I was going to say it's kind of a spoiler. And on part of me wishes I didn't know episode one, but this is the whole show.
Yeah.
So basically, Jessica Biel, she's married, she has a kid, and one day she just kills somebody. Not her husband, but just somebody else. They're on a beach. She kills somebody. And then it's like, why did you do that? And then that's the whole movie.
And it was like right in front of everybody, right? It was like
right in front of everybody. And she's like, yeah, I did it. And you're just like, okay, here we go. And so Bill Pullman is one of the like detectives or police officers in it. And then you got Jessica Biel, and it's pretty fascinating. So I'm looking forward to the last episode. There's also a season two. I've not seen that yet. It's a USA show, but season one is all on Netflix right now. If you guys want to watch it, it's only 8 episodes, which is also nice. And Carrie Coon, friend of the podcast, is in season two, which I'm looking forward to. Yes.
Anytime we can mention Carrie Coon, I like Carrie Coon and Scream references are kind of your thing.
Oh my God, I cannot wait for the Scream.
Two of your biggest loves in your life, Carrie Coon and Scream.
What if she was in Scream 5? I don't know, my head would explode. Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Yeah, people are excited, Rye, about the standalone Scream episode to close out hashtag Dorktober 3 season of The Witch.
I have a lot of movies to watch.
Yeah, you do. By the way, actually, no, get to your pick of the pod, then we'll get to what's next week.
So mine is actually one of my favorite bands, Coheed and Cambria, has a new album out called The Unheavenly Creatures. They're back to their Emery Wars story, which is good. Their concept, kind of sci-fi music, concept albums, which I really like. So that's my pick of the pod for the week. I'll just keep it simple. Nice. Give you an album to listen to.
Hey, sure.
There you go.
It's only like an hour long. You gotta listen to other things, you know?
Yeah, man. Listen to some music, will you? Jabroni.
Uh-huh. I hear you. Next week, Ryan, we really get back into Dorktober, because this was sort of like a loosely based Dorktober episode. Venom's kind of scary. I mean, if you're looking at scary, that wasn't like a Morbius episode. Like Morbius,
wasn't scary enough.
That would have been a real scary son of a gun. Next week, we're going BD, as the kids say. Balls deep into the Halloween franchise as the new Halloween, sort of the Halloween. It's actually a sequel. I was going to say reboot. It's really a sequel. It's coming out the following week. So we're going to get you primed and we're going to get you pumped. Go through all the Halloweens from the original Halloween 1978 all the way through to what's the most recent one? I guess Halloween 2. Ugh, Rob Zombie one.
The Rob Zombie one,
remake there. There's a lot of shit in this pile, but we're going to go through it. Our buddy Goo is going to join us as well. He is a big Halloween guy. So we'll get his thoughts on these bad boys. So anyway, I'm rewatching them. I've already rewatched 1, 2, 4, and most of 5.
Look at you.
I skipped 3. I don't even know if I'm going to go back to it. There's no Michael Myers.
Season of the Witch?
There's no Michael Myers, for God's sakes.
It's called Season of the Witch, Dorktober 3, Season of the Witch.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
I'm not wrong. You got to watch it. Don't be the squid here. Watch the movie.
No, I know. And then our buddy Jason Rossi, he's doing his 31 horror movies in 31 nights. Not bad. He's to this point, I caught up with him today. Through 8 days of the month, he's watched 7 movies.
How about him?
So he's one off the pace.
Yep.
He's seen some good ones. Now, he watched The Snowman.
Oh, God. Is that the one with Fassbender?
Yeah. He said it's like the worst movie he's ever seen in his life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not hear good things about that, so I'm not surprised.
It's not good. But anyway, that'll do it. I'm looking forward to watching all the Screams, watching all the Halloweens. You guys, of course, can email us anytime, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at dorkpodcast. You can check out the YouTube. I got to do some YouTube stuff, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. If we do Overwatch Halloween version with all the skins, maybe I'll YouTube some of that. Ryan, I know you said you're taking a little time off from the old Twitch stream.
Taking a break. Need a little break from the old Twitch stream. But we'll regroup.
Yeah.
I'll be back in a couple weeks, so I have something cooking. I don't want to tip my hat too much, but we got something going with the Movember Foundation for the month of November. So
nice.
So that's coming out soon. So I got to regroup before that takes place.
Good. Take Dorktober off. That's not a bad idea. You recharge the batteries. You watch horror movies. You get yourself
You row. You boat. You stink.
Eat. you stink. It's all good there. It's all good. So looking forward to Dorktober, and even in November we got some episodes because Daredevil comes out. Is it this week?
Yeah,
I think it comes out the end of this week or maybe next week. But so that'll be a November episode. I'm pumped for Daredevil. It looks really good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, especially with Bullseye. I'm really excited.
Yeah, because they've been tweeting out different like teasers and stuff. I'm trying not to watch too much of it, but you know, it's hard to avoid, and it is very good. So we have that. We have Aquaman before the end of the year, which everybody's really charged up about.
Woo!
And plenty of other good stuff. Oh, I gotta watch Better Call Saul. The finale was this week. I gotta go back and watch that. Jeez, that'll do her.
That'll do it.
So, guys, let us know what you thought about Venom. Hit us up on Twitter or on the email as well. Curious to see what you guys thought about Venom. Also, rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes, weei.com. And also, as a friendly reminder, a couple of weeks ago, they opened it up now where more of our shows are archived. So every episode we've ever done on WEEI is all available, including all of last year's Dorktober stuff. So if you're new to the podcast, I recommend checking out, go through, see some of the topics. But even if you don't like the topic, we have plenty of shit in there at the beginning or at the end that's not related to that topic. So maybe some stuff that you'd be interested in. But we ranked horror movies last year. We did Stranger Things. We did Batman the Long Halloween, all kinds of other crap. So that'll do it, Ryan. Any final thoughts?
Nope.
All right. Another perfect episode.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.